Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, I'm Lydia.
Hi, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Adam. Let's talk Hoya.
Hello everybody, 안녕.
Hola.
Welcome back.
Hello, hello. So I'm going to start off by apologizing for my husky voice. It may sound a quarter octave lower than usual because I'm recovering from the ick.
Yeah. I kind of like it though.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like, normal to me.
I can tell there's some stuffage.
Oh, yeah. I can.
So
then again, I spend like 65% of my life with allergies.
Tis the season. And it's because Lydia was out in the whole world. We were out in a Disney together.
Yep.
And
I didn't take my parka.
You didn't take your parka.
I got so cold. That really did me in.
I think it's a mental thing though. Because I remember you being like, it's so cold, I'm going to get sick.
Yeah, you did that
to yourself. I think you willed it on yourself because I didn't get sick.
No, whenever.
And we were literally in the same hotel room.
I know.
Yeah, you
guys sharing the same toilet.
You guys slept with the same cockroach in your pillow.
No, it's just multiple things. It's the fact that I didn't get a full 8 hours of sleep a single night, which is fine, which is great.
I'm about to say, don't you live like that?
No, I always get 8 hours of sleep. And then I got super cold. Whenever I get super cold, I know I'm going to get sick. And then you
forgot your vitamins. I knew as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, she's going to get sick.
Yeah, I know. I did forget my vitamins. I did. And then the amount of germs I probably consumed with all the lovely food that I ate.
Cue to Lydia texting us at 2 a.m. almost like daily. I swear she gets 8 hours of sleep.
I really did myself in. But you know what? This is the first time I have come out to the real world since we came back from Disney.
Oh my gosh.
I've stepped out of my house.
I wish I could have been like that. I definitely needed to recover from that.
So
we're too old for this.
Okay, but this is the final episode of our Hoya Leaf series, and hopefully you all have been enjoying this series because I know it was requested by many of our listeners. And today, since we've already talked about the thick and the thin, really that's all that's left are the little weird ones out there.
The weirdos, which are some of my favorites.
I would just say, and as a self-identified weirdo in life, it's mi mero mole. It's right where I live.
Oh, mi mero mole. I thought you were saying I have a mole, like you need me to check your mole.
No, mi mero mole is like, it's exactly my role. Like it's exactly my thing, but mole is food. Like it's exactly my type. I don't know how to explain it.
So then what does the word mole mean?
Mole is food. It's the food, the sauce that Mexicans make. It's like chocolatey.
But then if you use it in a sentence, what does it mean?
It's like saying it's just my size or it's just my thing. Mi mero mole. Like that's the expression you
it's
say.
It's like an expression. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Aww.
So yeah. So this is all the ones that, you know, you look at it and you're like, huh, I would have never thought that was a Hoya. Like that's so weird. Or even ones that have some more unusual characteristics that we don't usually see on Hoya. And so we're going to chat a little bit about our experiences with them, different species, varieties that we've had, and give you all some wonderful tips in this wonderful new year.
Wonderful.
What are some examples, just to paint a picture for our listeners, of some more unique or weird leaved Hoya?
Okay, well, the first one that pops in my mind is Hoya rotusa.
Mm.
That's immediately what I go to when I think about
grassy
this.
Like Hoya.
Yeah, I love that Hoya so much.
That was the first Hoya that ever bloomed for me. I got one bloom from it.
And mine rebloomed this year when it went from fall to winter. I got quite a few blooms on it, and I was just so happy to see it. Because it hasn't bloomed since probably that first year where I gave you a piece of it. But yeah, Retusa, because it's just, it doesn't look like any sort of Hoya out there. And it looks like the end of like a bone, like a cartoon bone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love it.
What about you, Jesse?
I immediately thought of Hoya undulata and Hoya vestigiae.
Oh, vestigiae. Okay. Unpopular opinion, but vestigiae, the more mature leaves, sometimes remind me of like a green mealybug.
I could see it because they're mm-hmm. so like visually fuzzy. Like you don't even have to zoom in on that.
But then like the waviness yeah. to the foliage reminds me of like yeah. the outer edges of like a mealybug.
Yeah, but ooh. Generally, anytime I think weird leaves, I think complicated plant.
Really?
And that's like a rule of thumb for me personally.
And honestly, though, I have to say,
low-key agree.
I feel like some of that does hold true. Not for all. I think it's either, like in my personal experience, it's either they're super, super easy or it's on the complete opposite spectrum and it's super, super difficult. But one that I can think of is like Hoya spartuoides.
Yes.
But isn't that not leaves at all?
I know, that's where I was going to yeah. be like, well.
See, but Hoya spartuoides.
Well, actually.
We read each other's brains.
I thought it just never had any leaves, but they only have leaves when they're like less mature. So Hoya spartuoides, if you ever get one that's grown from seeds, it does have leaves. Mm-hmm. And then the leaves will eventually fall off and it only continues to grow peduncles.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
And that is very interesting. But I guess it makes sense because usually when you grow seeds, like we all had those experiments in high school, well, elementary school, where we grew green beans, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And you always have like those first two leaves that come out. And they usually die pretty quickly, but they're just there to like really jumpstart the plant. So I'm yeah. guessing that's what spartuoides does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But what are some of our, should we talk about some of the ones that we feel like are really easy? Like, interesting leaf foliage, but has just always been a really, really easy growing one for us.
I'm going to say Hoya undulata.
Eye roll.
Okay, but remember the great death of undulata? When was that? 2021.
Because Yeah.
So are we really going to say?
Yes, because literally that thing has dried out so many times to the point of like death.
Yeah, that wasn't the death. That was a murder.
Yeah, that was a murder.
That was death by a thousand cuts.
Had Steve not turned off the air conditioning in the middle of Arizona summer.
Yes.
Well, all the other Hoya made it. So wouldn't that be classified as finicky?
Well.
No, because there are plants that I have given their like, you know, their basic needs. Light, water, a little bit of attention. And they still go. And like if Adam does that, everything thrives. So yeah, I do see like that temperature was crazy. It's just,
but I haven't bloomed it yet. Mm-hmm. I would love to bloom it. I would love to see those like in my house, even though we have seen them in April's greenhouse at Unsolicited Plant Talks. But as far as like, I thought I would had to give it so much humidity. I thought it was going to have to be, you know, babied, and it's not. I don't know. Not for me.
Yeah.
But again, it hasn't like bloomed, so.
I don't have one anymore. So I tried undulata. Oh, I don't know. Maybe almost like 6 times or something. And they all died. So never again.
Never again.
Nope. That's on my okay bye list.
Oh. I have one, but it just lives with 2 leaves. And like it grows a new one and one falls off. So it's just like, it's my 2-leafer. And I'm fine with that.
That's true testament though, because Jesse has had that undulata for a long time. I think you've had that for like 2 years.
Since before you had this replacement one.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it moved and everything and it still lived. And that's one of the ones that I was like, oh, this thing's going to die real quick. Nope. Still around.
So some mixed opinions there.
I'm trying to think of other like weird leaves. What's one that you can think of?
Well, I was going to circle back to Retusa because I think Retusa is just an effortless, very, very easy grower.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Oh, it really is. I mean, that absolutely. Thing will literally take any environment and it'll be like, yeah, sure, we'll do it here.
And I think, you know, especially if you want a Hoya that is going to trail and just continue to grow and give you cute little flowers, I think that's a really good one. But that one does also have a really interesting growth pattern because it'll like... put out a little bit of a vine and then it grows and it's like a whole cluster of leaves that grow and then puts out another little bit of a vine and then another cluster. Like it has a really interesting growth habit too though.
Yeah. It's like the clustery, it looks like a little firework,
but it is a very forgiving plant. And I think it is one that you're actually able to trellis because my Retusa is sitting on my windowsill and it actually started wrapping around the cord of my blinds.
Wow.
Which I did not know that it would do. So.
Yeah. I wonder what that one would look like on a trellis.
I don't know. It has to be kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it's overall, you know, kind of a weird looking Hoya. So, you know.
It might be kind of fun to try, you know.
Yeah.
Oh. It would look like a wreath. It would look like an evergreen wreath, I think.
Oh, wreath. Yeah.
Maybe. So
that one's a super easy one, in my opinion. What's another easy one?
For me, personally, in my collection, from my experience, Hoya parviflora. They look like little spades or like little giant needles. But it like literally, it's been a no fuss, no huss plant for me. I haven't bloomed, but there are that have gotten several peduncles on there. So I'm hoping like maybe once it matures a little more, maybe it's not the right temperature. I don't know. But I do think that is more of a like not regular leaf shaped Hoya that grows easily and is a little bit of a weird funky leaf because they're hard. And like I said, they're like tiny little spades.
Mm-hmm.
I really like it.
Yeah.
And like mine's like super bushy. So it just fills out nice. But when you start it, it does look kind of haphazard.
Okay, so another one that I would say I don't ever want to have, but I think is pretty easy and a very unique leaf shape that we haven't mentioned yet is the Hoya shepherdii.
Oh, it looks a little bit like Minibel, a little bit like
Kentiana.
Yeah, I was going to say like, because when I was thinking of weird leaf Hoyas, acicularis was another one that I was like, oh, that's like a grassy like Hoya, like the Retusa. And it kind of has those same leaf shapes as acicularis. But I haven't had the acicularis, so I don't know how easy it is or not. But the shepherdii will take all kinds of environments and be fine. I just don't like it because it gets too big. You know, it trails too much in those leaves. Like I had some of them that were like 9 inches long.
And people call it the green bean Hoya because the leaves kind of look like a green bean.
Yeah, it really does.
But that one can really take a beating. Okay, well, let's talk about difficult ones because acicularis is a difficult one.
Is it?
It is. And the leaf, there's like different varieties, but the leaves are really interesting. It almost like curls into itself and it almost looks like a smaller green bean, like super skinny, smaller green bean. But that was never an easy Hoya for me because I've had a few and they died. And the last one that I had, I ended up giving away to somebody, but it is not an easy Hoya in my opinion. By what I've experienced, has to have high humidity and low light. And when I mean low light, like actually not sitting even on a shelf with a grow light, because I found that it scorches the plant or it just doesn't really seem to like having a lot of light. And so I found a lot of success when I was growing that plant, having it in lower light conditions, but also cooler weather, which is kind of interesting. So it seems to be one that needs like all these little special requirements, was super prone to root rot. At least the one that I had was, and it would randomly just, I mean, once a leaf started dropping off, like you would touch it and then it would almost be like, you know how you put up a Christmas tree and like a live Christmas tree, if it's like dry, you like touch one of the branches and all the needles fall off. Like that's exactly what would happen. And okay, then it would just be dead.
But hear me out. Was this pre-understanding of flat mites?
Yes.
because that also seems like a flat mite thing to me. Because you know how they would attack like the petioles?
Yeah. And but then like, they would the turn like...
would start dying off.
Yeah, they would be like yellow. But it would be like a perfectly fine looking plant. And you would go and you would touch it and they would just all fall off.
Mm.
And then you would look and then like the stem would be rotted. And the roots would be rotted. And like the whole plant would just be dead. Mm. After being perfectly fine. Just, which is really weird.
Yeah.
The last time that happened, I was like, I had one more left. I was like, this needs to go. I've never tried it again. So maybe now that I have a little bit more experience, it would be different. Yeah. But that has never been an easy Hoya for me in the past.
Well, when I was looking it up, it does not directly remind, but it reminds me of the insularis a little bit because it kind of has like that middle like indentation.
Yeah, the indentation is interesting because it's like if you could actually like lift a little bit in that indentation, it happens because it like curls into itself, mm-hmm. but the leaves at the end, because the insularis is like flat, mm-hmm. but the leaves at the end are pointy.
Of the acicularis.
Mm-hmm. The acicularis.
Cute. So that one's a difficult one.
It was for me, and when I was growing it, when I talked to a few other people, they're also having challenges with it. So I don't know what that was, but
yeah,
you know, maybe I'm wrong, but it was always a challenging one for me.
Okay. I have one.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, shoot. I want to hear it.
Hoya imbricata.
Yes.
I do have one in my collection that has been pretty chill, but I've killed like 500 of them previously, and I just have never met someone who's like, that is the easiest plant to handle.
Okay, but did you guys see somebody who listens to our podcast, I believe, talked about how they attached their imbricata to a terracotta pot?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yes. they had posted an update recently, and it is growing beautifully.
Yes.
See, the one at the Tucson Botanical Garden was like wrapping around a terracotta pot, but it was in a very high humid environment. I just wouldn't be able to provide that here.
The one that she posted, or they posted, like even turned the pot around and was like showing it off, and the leaves are just so much bigger now, and they're just suctioned right onto like that pot, and it looks so pretty. Oh, it really inspired me to like want to try it.
I need to find that photo.
But the last imbricata that I had, it died a tragic death. So,
yeah, but if you haven't seen an imbricata before, I highly recommend Googling it because people who do mount it, they're really like cute little disc looking leaves that kind of attach like little UFOs. And then the one that I have is not mounted, so the leaves kind of fold over like a taco.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think like they're little weirdos, but they're so cool. I constantly keep replacing it and like wishing this one will live.
Yeah.
They are just seeing like, even when you see, wasn't it in Hawaii that you saw a similar plant like that and it was growing up one of the pterocarp trees? Mm-hmm. Didn't you post a picture like that when you were there last time?
Yeah, it was a dischidia though, but it does like grow similarly. They just get covering
like the side of like little plates, like salad plates.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane
but cool.
Yeah, it's that would be cool, like if I had a place where I could have that outside, I would love that, you know,
like nice humid. I bet. Yes. Like Jonathan Hawaii could.
Hoya. Better grow me an imbricata.
There goes a challenge for you.
What about you, Adam? What's a difficult one that you can think of?
Insularis sometimes seemed easy to me. Like mine was just thriving, peduncle after peduncle, bloom after bloom after bloom. And then it just like stopped for no reason. It never had pests on it, and it just like never grew from that point on. And then all the leaves just started slowly turning bright yellow and falling off. I did manage to take a prop of it. I have it on my shelf again. That one's growing. It also has a new peduncle, but like, I'm a little scared. I don't know what caused the issue with the first one.
And then remember, I truly don't. Like as security, we took all those cuttings.
Mm-hmm.
And they literally all died.
That one is so difficult to prop. But the thing is, maybe it just doesn't like humidity.
Okay. Funny thing though is I have an insularis and it was sitting out on my shelf at ambient and it was just not growing really well. So I moved it into my grow tent that's like 90% humidity. And bam, like that next week it started growing leaves. Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
So I don't know. It's a tricky one. Yeah, it seems to be temperamental. Which the funny thing though is when it was in ambient, that was the first time it bloomed. And then after it bloomed, it just never did anything again after that. So then I got paranoid because we all know what happened to yours. And so I was like, okay, maybe it needs to be babied a little bit. So I moved it and now it's growing again. Yeah, so
mine declined. Well, it didn't decline fast. It stayed pretty fine for a long time. And I even like emptied it out to see if there had root mealies or anything, and it didn't. So I don't know what the heck happened to it. So I finally
heated it.
I got rid of it.
Now you have Insularis Junior here.
Yeah, so I need to take a security cutting of that. But that one that I have on my shelf, I propped in ambient. I just put it in that pot. I put the two leaf, one node cutting in that pot, and it grew. So,
just so weird.
It is weird because I usually don't have issues with propping things, but that one, I don't think any of those props made it.
No, not a single one. Even one that we thought like, oh, look, we see some roots. And then remember, like we touched it and then the leaves all fell off.
Yeah.
Dang.
I'm telling you, that's how it was with the Sicularis. You just touch it. Bloop, bloop.
You just touch it and then fall.
They must be cousins.
Well, I mean
they are cousins, yeah. But.
I can think of another one too.
Ooh, go for it.
I want to hear.
Hoya Suzy Q. And I've never owned this.
But Carnosa Suzy Q?
I've seen Adam own it. And it grows, but it's not one that's like Lacunosa speed. And like, I know at the beginning you weren't sure why it wasn't growing. So I feel like that's one of the, and it's got the little funky leaves going on too.
Yeah. It does have cute little leaves.
Yeah.
I mean,
yours though is like trailing.
Yeah. It has grown, but
yeah, not,
that's been a while since you got that one. Cause like, I was like way before you were in the green plant.
Oh yeah. Like wow. Like
3 years ago, maybe.
Yeah. It does, yeah, you're right. It does not grow like a Lacunosa would grow.
It's like slow and steady. And then wins some of the leaves
started to get real big on that one, real big,
almost looking like a like the rubra.
Ooh,
yeah,
which is kind of interesting. What's another one that's difficult?
I don't know if I want to say it's difficult, but I'm
challenging.
I'm gonna say the Hoya compacta.
Oh,
varieties. Now mine grow well, mine have grown well, but they're just not known to be like pop off
super fast, prolific. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's gonna take a while. It takes definitely some time, but then there are some varieties of that, like my Mauna Loa is that's not like zipping with, you know, growth. And we all know the Jody Silver is like impossible, it seems, to grow. So,
no, that's true. Because I mean, if you have like a full big basket of Lacunosa, I mean, it's cool to see, but you're not hem hawing over like, oh my gosh, like how did that happen? Because I mean, honestly, if you just grow your Lacunosa for like a year, it's going to easily become a big full pot. But like a compacta, when you see somebody that has this like big, beautiful, lush pot of compacta, like, you know, that took so much work for that plant to get there.
Oh yeah.
So no, I agree.
That's my stepmom. She has one that's like time. Hung up near the ceiling and it's just like ropes down to the floor.
I have two compacta and I cannot wait for the day that happens.
No fertilizer. I'm pretty sure it's just, I think it's probably just Miracle-Grow or whatever.
Oh my gosh, and how?
It's just like I dump some water in this every, like once a month kind of thing.
Wow.
Which is
maybe
impressive.
Maybe it's the cat germs in the air.
That's not my stepmom. Not oh, my mom.
My bad.
How dare you?
Do they have a cat?
No.
I'm like, maybe it's still the cats. Didn't do that. Hola, Hoya friends. So we launched our Patreon, aka Peduncle Pals. It's been a joy connecting more with all of you, chatting in our Facebook group, and sharing more behind the scenes through our exclusive Patreon episodes every month. We're blown away by your support, and we're so grateful for every one of you that is joining us on this club. You can subscribe through our Patreon link through our Instagram bio, episode descriptions, or show notes. See you there.
Looking to elevate your gardening game this season? Well, look no further than Coast of Maine, your go-to source for premium organic soils for over 28 years. Organic approved and sourced from oceans and farms, their full range of garden and lawn products are designed to restore roots to the natural world.
So picture this. You're struggling with lackluster soil, just like I did last year, and your garden plans just aren't thriving. And that was until we discovered Coast of Maine. Their products infuse my soil with the healthy microbes and nutrients it was craving, resulting in vibrant outdoor plants that practically thanked me for the upgrade.
Omri listed and crafted from natural ingredients like lobster shells and fish bones, their products not only nourish your plants, but also your peace of mind.
Are you ready to take your garden to the next level? Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. That's why their products are carried by local retail partners who provide advice and insight, not just found in big box stores.
And Coast of Maine knows, from beginning to expert, anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere.
Their products make organic gardening simple and approachable for everyone.
Let's get growing together.
Visit coastofmaine.com today. That's coastofmaine with an E.com.
One that I've talked about before was Hoya Ives Rocheri. Oh, someone had told me how to say that one time we mentioned in the episode, and I already forgot, so I greatly apologize. Please forgive me.
But I love Ferrero Rocher.
We'll never eat a Ferrero Rocher ever again. We'll tell the story on Patreon. Please join Patreon. But that one, you know, I got, I want to say it's been 3 years that I got it. It was my birthday of 2020 that my friend Riley had sent it to me. And initially it was growing so good. And I mean, it's not one that's like popping off like a Lacunosa. I feel like the pace is more of like a Carnosa Susie Q. But it was growing. It was steady. I kept it in the exact same spot. I checked it for mites. I checked it for every pest out there. Nothing was going on. And all of a sudden it just started dropping leaves. And mind you, it didn't have very many leaves to drop. And so I was like really, really concerned.
We ain't got the numbers, ladies.
And so I ended up moving it to a different cabinet, and it took like a solid 6 months for it to just do something again. Thankfully it stopped dropping leaves at that point. But now she's just like popping off again, like 3 new vines going. Mm. So I don't know what the magic is. Like I literally haven't done anything new to it, but mine does sit in pretty high humidity. It's an 80% humidity. I don't have it under like a direct grow light. It's on a shelf with a grow light in the cabinet, but it's like furthest away that it can possibly be. And it just sits there and it's happy. So I'm not going to do anything to it and just leave it alone. But yeah, I really thought I was losing that plant at one point. So, but it's really cute. It has these small, skinny, pointy type of leaves. Very unique. I mean, really, I'm holding on to it because I want to see a flower, but I've never got a peduncle. So I'm going to keep on holding out.
So, when I was looking that up, because I like to see as we're like talking about them, because I just don't have things memorized. But Hoya stenophylla kept coming up too. And they look very similar.
Stenophylla, the leaves are much longer.
Yeah, they do look.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I had the stenophylla and like somebody sold it to me rooted and like going, and like it literally put out like one or two little leaves. And I was like, oh, I did this. Like, congratulations. You're like amazing. And then like quickly
died
when I went on vacation.
Oh, I used to have a stenophylla, and I would say much easier than Ives Rocheri. And I know of people that grow stenophylla in ambient perfectly fine too. So definitely worth a try. Yeah, if you're wanting a Hoya with that kind of a leaf shape.
The one that I had two like little cuttings of it, and I had one in the cabinet and one in ambient, and the ambient one lived longer than the one in the cabinet.
Impressive.
So yeah.
Wow.
Little note to self for people who have one. Or we'll acquire one soon.
Should we briefly talk about some of the fuzzy ones?
Yes.
Because there's definitely easy ones.
Thompsonii.
100%, right?
Literally, I thought that was going to be complicated. I got one last time we went to UPT.
Still alive.
But literally,
you guys missed a little dance on this audio format.
It grows new leaves and it's fuzzy and it's like putting a smile on my face every time I see it. Great, great, great. Highly recommend.
I remember one I got almost, maybe it was like 2 years ago.
That was my back cracking.
But I got it and it was maybe like three nodes and infested with flat mites, and I thought it was gonna be a goner for sure, but I got rid of those flat mites and it just went, and guess what? Because we know Thompsonia is a winter bloomer, and I have five peduncles going right now.
Yeah, mine really in our environment, mine really popped off like January, February.
And then also exciting news, there was a random vine that gave me all silver leaves, and so I cut that and propagated it.
Is it continuing?
Well, I hasn't put out any more new leaves because I just recently cut it, but hopefully.
Yeah.
So that one is a very easy one.
Yeah, that one is easy. And again, very, very like forgiving.
It's so unique. I mean, just so fuzzy and cute, you know?
And rarely needs up potted. Like that one has been in that 3-inch pot its whole life.
Yeah, and it's cascading and thriving. And
there's not even roots poking out of the bottom. So it's just like, whatever.
Same. I've had mine in the same 3-inch pot since I got it. And there's no roots poking out the bottom. And it's just growing perfectly fine, like seamless.
I do love watching that one grow because a lot of the times when it grows, it puts off a peduncle. Now, we have all experienced a lot of Hoyas that put out peduncles and they just never flower. Mm-hmm. And so like that's what the Thompsonia did for me for the longest time. It just would put out a bunch of peduncles, but they wouldn't do anything. But when they're growing, akin to the Hoya, what's the circle one?
Mathilde.
Yes, thank you. Akin to that, like when it's growing the peduncle on the new vine, like the peduncle's there and it's kind of long and then the leaves are starting to form and it looks like a little elephant trunk and like the little tiny elephant ears because it's like the peduncle and the ears. I love that.
I just love how fuzzy they are because I feel like when it's first coming out, like all the hair it's ever going to have, it almost looks like it's all shoved onto that tiny little leaf that's coming in and you don't even see like leaf. You just see the fuzz and it's so freaking cute.
It makes me think of Horton Healer's a Who.
Oh, I used to love every time
a new leaf grows on mine, I think of that movie.
We are the Who's.
We are the Who's on somebody's little dandelion. Anyway,
did you guys know that the Milky Way galaxy?
The Verstigii, I know we already mentioned that, but that also when it has the baby leaves is so furry. And also the adult leaves are very furry.
Mm-hmm. Visually, like.
I love touching that plant.
Yes.
Okay. I'm like looking at it right now and I just want to go over there and touch it.
I have a problem. So before we went to Disney, I didn't flush any of my plants. I just topped them off all with water.
Ooh.
And then I got sick. And so now... It's been, and then before that, I didn't move my Verstigii because a vine was growing up the shelf. And I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. Well, in that time that I hadn't checked on it, it grew so much to the point it intertwined into a lamp light. And there's new leaves growing on every single node. And I can't do anything about it.
Why?
Because I can't take it out because then the new leaf would cut off.
Oh, so it's like that.
So it has become one with the shelf. So today I had to take a Tupperware container to the shelf to flush the plant.
Yeah, we all have those, don't we?
And
then
I took a broom pan to guard the water from splashing everywhere because I had to still spray the leaves down. It was a whole fiasco.
Yeah.
All to not disturb the plant.
But the leaves are so cute. And what if they come in like huge, ginormous, adorable?
Yeah, like that new leaf that's over there. It's pretty large.
So I'm just letting it do its thing, which is not my usual, not my usual MO because I've been letting my plants go wild for a little bit of time and now I've all reined them back in.
Yeah.
But that one, she's just going to.
I think she's earned it. She's earned special diva treatment.
But I think it's going to be cute because it's on the most bottom shelf and it's going all the way up the shelf into the little light. So
yeah, I mentioned to Adam when I got here that I was really glad his is growing because Mine is currently demonstrating what it would look like when it's dead.
Hold on. So wait.
Because we all have that plant because I purchased it.
Is dead?
No, it's just like, it's like, it's really like, what do you call it when actors like live their character?
It's a, what is that called?
It's giving?
Like, no.
No. I want to say character acting. Is it character acting?
Something like that. But like, you know how actors do that? That's what the VistDJI in my house is doing. It's really like living, I died 3 weeks ago. And I still watered it. Like my Nickel Saunier and that one are still in their pots, even though they're probably been dead for a long time. I'm still watering them.
Did it just hurt for you to say that right now?
Yes, it really did. I'm still watering them.
I heard a stutter.
I'm pretending they're alive and like they're going to, it's just winter. They're like off for the winter and they're going to give me leaves in the summer.
I have it for you, even though I know, I do know that our audience is probably like, this is what it is. Method acting.
Yes.
Method acting. So it's a good method actor.
Yes,
huh?
It is really good.
Playing a zombie?
Yeah. And that hurts so much because I know how much Adam invested into like rooting it for me, like getting it going. I don't know what happened, guys. My Nickel Saunier, I literally posted it 1 week, like full bush thriving. And then the next week I watered it and every single leaf fell off and it's two sticks. That's all it is. It's dead. It's gone.
Well, both of those plants. The NGG?
Yeah.
Both of those plants you purchased.
I got the Brazilian wax and full bush to nothing.
Yes. And Adam and I both got a piece of that and we thank you.
Yeah.
For your contribution.
And I thank you for the return of my children. I'm cashing in on that.
I have grown out quite a few plants for Jesse, but today I was like, oh, hey, here's this one. And she goes, I'd like it to be a little bushier is what she said to me. So I'm okay. Like, okay, well, I guess it'll go back on the show.
Well, okay, but that's not going to even make a difference because I remember the Nickel Saunier New Guinea Ghost. We waited for that to be like big, full, lush.
That way, yeah.
Before you gave it to Jesse.
In my defense, it grew a lot in my care as well.
It did grow a lot.
It grew, it lived, it thrived. It also had a full life.
It also died. So
it had a full life. You know what? Back to the topic.
I don't know that our plants are supposed to be having full lives.
So quickly.
I think they're supposed to be having lives.
But I was thinking of another plant that the leaves are interesting and cutesy and fuzzy. Hoya numerolomidis. Numerolomidis. I don't know how you say that.
Oh, numerolomidis.
Are you bringing this one up because yours is about to bloom?
Yes. That one is
she's like,
just
okay, you
fuzzy,
guys are talking
though.
Shit about me. Now I'm going to tell you.
It's thick and fuzzy.
It's more like velvet.
Uh-huh. It is like
it's
velvet.
More like velvet.
Yeah. And now that we're talking really about it, let me tell you guys that mine has 5 blooms.
And the blooms are very cute.
And they're very, very cute. They're like a little tiny little bouquet.
Have they actually opened?
One of them is like, it's going to happen any day. Like, I'm literally going to my house every day checking it.
So it's giving life.
Yeah.
Unlike your other plants.
Yeah.
And she's trying really hard not to squeak or anything. Because no. Then cause she knows the pain of editing now.
Yep.
How things change.
But yeah, that one I think is a unique. And
it is, though. It's very like spoon shaped in a way. Like.
Yeah, I had that one. I'm pretty sure that
the one I have is a cutting of the one you had.
Okay, well, maybe you should give me some back. Because, Paul, do I want to try it again?
I think you do because
I gave a piece to Cortland Waters, who is a friend of mine on Instagram, a friend of the pod as well. Mm-hmm. They tag us in a lot of stuff when their stuff blooms. But it's thriving in his care. But mine did not do well.
Well.
And mine turned woody really quickly. The stems turned like wood.
Yeah, they are. It's kind of surprising, actually, because you would think it's more pliable. Because, like, Thompsonii vines, they don't ever get, like, woody unless it's, like, mine, like, at the base where it's potted is woody. Mm-hmm. The rest of the vine is just super pliable. And you would almost think Numeloroides would be like that. But no, it's more akin to, like, Cummingiana. Cummingiana vines also go woody very fast.
Yeah.
But a fuzzy Hoya, that's not an easy one that I wanted to make a mention to, was Hypalasia.
Oh, yeah.
Hypalasia, you know, I'm not going to say that it just like dies, but it doesn't just like always grow either.
you know, my hyperplasia, it finally started growing. And ultimately what I want is those big leaves. Well, so then I moved it from its spot and now it was complaining that it was getting too much light because the leaves are coming in tiny, tiny and getting chlorotic. So then I moved it back to a different spot and it just seems to be a little bit of a diva.
Mm.
But she's growing, so you know.
Yeah, mine took a while to grow, but it has grown quite a few new leaves, but they are quite small and it's probably because it's pretty close to that grow light.
Yeah, so I think hyperplasia, like if you do a change in environment, it definitely throws a little bit of a fit. Because didn't yours, after I gave it to you, or you took it out of the propagation box, it dropped a few leaves when it was acclimating. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so definitely one that'll probably drop a few leaves when it acclimates. But I've seen people grow it in ambient, so you can do it. Mine's grown in humidity, not that it's growing any better, so, but it's alive.
Yeah.
And I definitely think it doesn't need a lot of light, but a little bit of a diva, but rewarding one day when it blooms, because the blooms are really pretty.
Yeah.
If it ever blooms.
If.
Because April has a really big one and hers, last time I talked to her, hasn't bloomed yet. So, but also a finicky shipper. So a lot of things.
Yeah. A lot of cons little for things. That one.
Yeah. But it's so cute. You know? Yeah.
We love the fuzzy ones. Okay. Should we talk about some weird Hoya flowers to end this episode?
Oh.
Throwing a curveball. Oh,
yes. And I know we haven't like gone too much in depth with like lighting or a pot size or anything like that, but I mean, we really treat them the same as we do much of our other Hoya. And we talked extensively about that in our other two episodes. So just refer to those. But yeah, let's talk about some weird Hoya flowers.
Yeah. The one thing I can say though is like, I do kind of play with them a little bit more than I do with my other plants. When I do get like...
Yeah, like your Lauterbachia that you couldn't stop touching and it died.
I'm so sad about that. But yeah, I do like tend to like pay more attention and like if it's yellowing, you know, pull it from the light. Maybe watch the watering. So
baby those ones?
Yeah, I baby them a lot more. Because they're cuter, eh? But generally just because I know that it's going to be a bit of a challenge sometimes to find them a good spot in my collection.
Yeah. Okay.
Those flowers.
Weird flowers. Ooh. Immediately, the first one I thought of, even though like this is a pretty common, so the Hoya Huschkeliana flowers, even though everyone says they stink or they smell good or they're strong, I cannot smell them, but those flowers are very dischidia. To me.
Which, if you're curious, they smell like butterscotch.
Yeah, they smell like butterscotch.
They're little urns. They're ursulot. Is that ursulot? But they look like little urns. Mm-hmm. They look like dischidia flowers to me. But that's one of the weird flowers that I've experienced in my collection.
Oh, we're only talking about our collection?
Well, no.
We're only talking about ones we actually bloomed?
No, we're not. But that's just like, because I know that there's probably a lot of weird flowers out there. Like there's a lot of weird leafed Hoya that we didn't touch on. So mention it on Instagram.
Yeah. I immediately thought of Hoya discipulae because that's the one that looks like a little whisk.
The whisks.
The flowers.
Yeah. And I've not bloomed it. I don't have that plant, but I...
R.I.P. to mine.
Okay, never mind. Lydia won't bloom that. But if any of our listeners do have it and have bloomed it, send us a picture. So we can be like, this could be you.
I think Wendy's bloomed it. Wendy bloomed it. Because she posted it recently.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. One that I'm really hoping to bloom in 2024. Hoya inflata.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Though they're almost like an urn shape, like the Huschkeliana, but they're not as closed. I would say they look more like a bell.
Yeah.
Or almost like little balloons.
Yeah, they're so cute.
These round, beautiful, delicate yellow balloons. And I really, really hope to see them. Okay, what's another one? Weird Hoya flowers.
Insularis is always going to be a weird flower.
Yes. You know, I still can't get over the fact that is a Hoya.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the leaf, the flower.
All of it.
Yeah. It's. I don't know of many Hoya flowers that look akin to that one. I'm sure there's some out there that we just maybe don't know about, but that one is just so weird. It's like tubular before they open. It looks like a, what was that? Pigs in a Blanket.
Yeah.
The way that they all like face each other, like they're in a meeting, or the Spider-Man meme where they're all pointing at each other. Like, yeah, that's how it's just very unique in how it, the whole thing.
Yeah. And then I always have to tell myself they know it's a Hoya because they DNA tested.
Yeah. That was really recent too. 2020. Right.
So it's like, it for sure is a Hoya. No matter how much we're like, is it?
Yeah.
Because even the scientists were like, and they tested it and it was.
Maury Povich said, you are the Hoya. Any other weird flowers that you guys can think of?
I have to say Hoya papachoniae.
Yeah.
Because they're not cute.
No.
They're nothing special.
Except they do self-pollinate.
Yes, except they self-pollinate, which is the weirdest thing.
So that is special, I guess.
That does make it special.
If you want to try some seeds.
The other Hoya, though, is Hoya maniprensis, which I don't know. Those flowers look so Deschidia-esque to me in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But that one also is reported to be a self-pollinator.
Really? Maniprensis?
Yes, Maniprensis.
And so, again, I know we mentioned it earlier, but the Spartiroides.
Spartiroides.
Interesting flower just because of the anatomy of it being all peduncle.
Yeah, long peduncle. And then it puts out a teeny cluster of flowers and they literally only last overnight and they fall off. Which some varieties of that is also self-pollinating. You know, I know that we started out doing this hobby all for foliage, but I gotta say, like, those flowers on Hoya is just, there's just nothing like it.
No,
there it really is. It really is a beauty.
It's kind of, it's fun to try to get that and to figure out how to get them to flower.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was our wonderful 3-part series on different types and kinds of Hoya, how we care for them, different little tidbits about them. And we hope that it started out your 2024 with some new information and inspiration to care for your Hoya for the rest of the year.
Nice.
Nice. But please tag us, tell us your favorite weird leafed Hoya, because I know there's probably tons we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
So we want to see them. We need to fill out our wish lists.
And again, weird is a positive.
Yes.
Attribute to me. The weirder, the better.
Because at the end of the day, none of us are normal. We are all weird. Exactly.
There is no normal.
Okay, speak for yourself.
There's no normacy. You're literally the one that has to start the episode. We're like, yeah. I'm the weird club.
See, but I'm cool weird.
Okay.
Anyway.
Put the shovel away, Jesse. Anyway, yes, tag us in those photos over on our Instagram at let's.talkhoya. And you can also follow us individually on Instagram. My Instagram handle is at notdude.
I'm at thegreenplant.az.
And I'm at burritos y plants. Adios.
Adios.
Bye.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.